Hello and welcome to Living the Present Moment with Dr. Joel Ying. This episode is recorded Friday, June 22nd, 2018. On this series, I interview people of passion and purpose doing interesting things, living the present moment. I'm your host today, Dr. Joel Ying, and I'm a physician, educator, and storyteller. You can find me online at livingthepresentmoment.com. Visit the blog, read the monthly newsletter, join my mailing list, and find information about courses and this podcast. Today's topic is health coaching, and I'm excited to have my guest today, Michelle Kramer. Michelle Joy Kramer is a board-certified holistic health practitioner and a health coach. She helps individuals and corporate teams achieve their optimal health through healthy lifestyle changes. You can find her online at michellejoykramer.com. That's Michelle, M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E, Joy, J-O-Y, Kramer, K-R-A-M-E-R.com. She's a graduate of the Institute of Integrative Nutrition in New York City. She's accredited by the American Association of Drugless Practitioners and has completed continuing education and certification programs for health counseling through Purchase College at the State University of New York. And, this part's surprising, she's an accomplished top competing athlete whose greatest achievement, she tells me, is qualifying for and completing the Ironman Triathlon World Championship in Hawaii. How are you doing, Michelle?
Woo! Good, thank you.
Woo, that's a lot of stuff.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm excited. You know, I wanted to start with that last thing that I just mentioned. I wasn't going to start there, but I thought, wow, that's fascinating. How did you decide to compete in the Ironman, and what was that like?
Actually, it's a funny story. My stepfather, when I was 21 years old, I was living in Palm Beach, Florida at the time, and he said to me, you know, there's an article on these three gentlemen in the area that are doing Ironmans, and I said, wow, I would love to do that one day. And my stepfather turned and looked at me and said, you won't be able to do that. And being the oldest child, you never tell the oldest child they can't do something. So I quickly ran out, found the best coach possible in Palm Beach. I was a smoker at the time. I trained continuously with this coach for 2 years. And I did my first Ironman in Florida and took second place and qualified for the Hawaii Ironman the next year.
Wow.
So I'm a pretty driven person, as you can tell.
Wow. And
yes.
Besides your dad or stepdad prodding you on with that statement, what kept you, I mean, 2 years is a long course, what kept you motivated through that whole thing?
You know, it's interesting. Even prior to my stepdad saying that, I had seen the Ironman Hawaii on television when I was living in New York. And I remember watching the TV, and these two ladies were crawling to the finish line. And I remember just staring at them, and I had tears down my eyes, and I thought, wow, how could these people, you know, put their bodies and their minds through something like this? And I was very, very intrigued. So those 2 years, I would say the biggest thing that helped me stay on track was someone that believed in me, which was my coach. Mm. And every day, day in and day out, there was just no option of giving up. It was, I always wanted to, you know, do my best for him. And he's actually in his late 70s, still doing Ironmans today. But, you know, just having someone believe in me and, you know, a coach figure. And, you know, I just didn't want to disappoint him. And that really kept me getting out of bed every day and motivated.
Wow. And you mentioned even that you were a smoker at the time. What brought you on this road to a healthy lifestyle? That's fascinating.
I was a closet smoker. no one really knew. I'm sure they smelled it, but I thought no one knew. I was always active. My mom very early on started me in dance and soccer and all kinds of sports. And I started running when I was 9 years old. I actually went to Israel when I was 16 years old to study, and I picked up my first cigarette in Israel. And I could still run and smoke, believe it or not. But the minute I decided to actually do the Ironman and I got in the pool, I couldn't swim and smoke. So I quit. Wow. But I actually, I tell people this, they can't believe it. I ran the New York City Marathon in 1999 and had a cigarette the night before.
Wow. Okay.
That was prior to swimming. I just decided to quit when I started swimming.
Wow. What was the biggest challenge of the Ironman?
The biggest challenge was the biking part for me. I wasn't really a strong biker per se, and the time that it took to bike was between 5 and 6 hours. So I would say the biking part.
Wow. And, you know, I was just realizing that people listening might not know exactly what's entailed in the Ironman. So if you were going to give it a short description, what would you say?
So it's a triathlon, three disciplines. You start off with a swim that's 2.4 miles. A bike ride right after is 112 miles. And then you get off your bike and you run a full marathon, which is 26.2 miles.
Wow.
You might get a 30-second break to comb your hair, but that's about it.
Oh, gosh. Wow. Now, how did you go from, intense athlete over to, it sounds like a transition that, you know, sounds reasonable, obviously, but how did you transition to being really interested in health and wellness? From that?
Well, it was interesting. After I completed the Ironman in Hawaii in 2003, I had digestive issues that I kind of just pushed under the rug. I really didn't want to look at it. I look good on the outside with the six-pack abs and, low body fat percentage. So I thought I was okay, I just thought most athletes had digestive issues, and that was the norm. So after I did the Ironman, I went to see a nutritionist. And I had been to several different doctors during my training, and they would just say, take Imodium every day or take some type of, something to help my stomach. And this nutritionist said, "Have you ever considered you're exercising too much?" And I said, "Now, why would you think that?" Obviously I was. So I was over-exercising, and my diet was completely unhealthy for my body. So this nutritionist said to me, "Would you like to get off eventually your..." I was on three different types of medications at that time for digestive issues. And she said, "Would you like to eventually get off of them?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "So this is what I want you to do." She said, "I want you to eliminate dairy and sugar for 6 months. And would you cut back on your exercise?" I thought she was crazy. I almost walked out the door.
Wow. Okay.
But I ended up doing it. And within 3 months, I was off all my medications, and I completely reversed my blood work.
Wow.
And I was just blown away by that. Yeah, within 3 months. And it was interesting because I never had one doctor ever say to me, you know, what are you eating? Or what are you not eating? Or what are you drinking? Or how's your lifestyle? They would just say, take this pill and, you know, you'll be on this forever, basically.
Wow. And was that the motivation to become interested in nutrition and health coaching?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I saw and felt firsthand that I could actually take my own health back into my hands, you know, have the power to do that. And I just wanted to get out there and just share with the world, you know, because I was going down a dead-end road, basically.
Wow. No, that's a great story. And, you know, nutrition is, I think you're right, it's something we definitely neglect in the world of medicine anyway. And integrating it back in, I think, is really important. As you thought about, you know, promoting health and nutrition, how did you come to health coaching as a career?
Well, at the time, I was a massage therapist for 17 years, and I loved my practice. I loved what I did. It was a very physical, also, job, and I had a friend of mine that lived in New York. Her name was Lisa, and she said, I've been going to this school called the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. And I said, well, tell me about it. So she started to talk about it. And at that time, it was a live school. Like, you go to New York and you go to the school. Today, it's an online school. And I ended up calling the school because I knew I was looking for something more at that time because I had healed my own body. I was massaging, and I'd constantly hear clients talk about their digestion or, you know, even communication breakdowns in their relationships and their life. They had exercise questions. You know, it was more, I was more than just their massage therapist. Mm-hmm. And I ended up calling the school, and within one month, I was on an airplane to New York.
Wow.
And I went to school to become a health coach.
Wow. How long was the program at that time?
The live program at that time was 1 year, and then I did a year offline at home. So I graduated and then did kind of, it was called an immersion program. And I was still working in Palm Beach massaging, and I would fly to New York, I think it was 10 different times throughout the year, and go to school. So I would do a lot of work at home, but it was also a live school as well.
Oh, okay. And what is a health coach? How would you define that term?
I would define a health coach as, you know, it's more of somebody, I would say, what I do as a health coach is support people in setting and achieving health goals and really getting to the root cause, not so much of symptoms that people have, but really the root cause of what's going on in their life. And that could be as little as a headache or, you know, they're stuck in a job they're not enjoying. Could be many different things. And I literally will, you know, spend an hour with a client and just sit there and sometimes just nod my head and listen. And sometimes the client figures out usually what they need, you know, what their body is telling them because they're actually, you know, sitting still for an hour talking. But I would say as a health coach, I'm kind of that the patient or the client, and let's say a doctor. I kind of call myself a health detective.
A health attack. Oh, that's
we're
cool.
going to kind of use a fine comb and look at every little inch to see what's really going on underneath.
Now, what is a typical client come in with, and what does a session look like?
A typical client will come in, the type of are pretty high-profile men and women, usually 45 years old and up. They're looking to lose 20 pounds, 30 pounds. They're very, very busy, have busy lives, constantly traveling. I would say majority of my clients come to me to find joy, which is actually my middle name, in their life. You know, they've gotten to a point where some of them just aren't happy, and they don't know why. So most of my business is pretty much 95% of it is online. So I work with clients all over the world, and typically a session looks like 1 hour twice a month, and then I'm here for them every single day through text, email support, phone support, and you can just, if you want to jump in and ask questions, or you want me to keep going?
keep going. Fascinating.
Okay. And every session there is a structure. So let's say one of the sessions is on greens. You know, why is it important to eat dark leafy greens? I would give them a document to read about it, the benefits of eating dark leafy greens. That they could actually get calcium in kale. It's not just in milk. And then, you know, I'll kind of let them lead and talk about what's going on for them and what, you know, we'll set goals typically in the beginning of their program, a 1 month, 3 month, and 6 month goal or goals. And I support them and hold them accountable in achieving them.
So very similar to what your Ironman coaching did for you, with supporting as well as, it sounds like, a big portion of education in there.
Yes, except they don't want to do it the Ironman.
Except they don't want to do it, right? Well, yes, except they get to set their own goal, not Ironman.
Usually a client, the first couple things they'll say to me is, one, I'm not going to become vegan like you. Two, I'm not doing an Ironman. And three, please do not way.
I love that last thing you said. Please don't.
The third is, please don't take my wine away.
Oh, okay.
can you hear me better?
A little bit better. A couple words were cutting out now and then.
Okay.
Yeah, that's funny. So I really like that. You're really responsive to their particular goals, and they don't have to match your goals of, oh, everyone has to be vegan, or everyone has to be raw, or everyone has to be, pescatarian, or whatever the flavor of the day is. I like that you meet someone where they are and sort of help them reach their goal.
Yes, and, you know, that's the beauty of, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. You'll just let me know if you can't. The reason I chose the school I went to and the beauty of it is I learned over 100 dietary theories in school. So all different teachers from pretty much every dietary theory that's out there I learned in school. So if I have a client that comes to me and says, you know, I've been on a paleo diet, I've been on a paleo diet and I haven't lost any weight. You know, I will educate them more about what paleo is and the benefits, and then also, you know, maybe have them try a different dietary theory like a whole food plant-based diet. And they'll do that for 2 weeks, and then they might try a raw food diet for 2 weeks. they might eliminate eggs for 2 weeks, you know, and they start to notice how they feel. And so that's like the beauty of my school, is I've learned from so many different doctors and teachers, where everybody is different, like you said. It's a real, what they call in my school, a bio-individuality. Hmm. And everyone is unique and different.
Hmm. That's great. I like that. What did you say? Bio-individuality. What a great word.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what are some of the typical roadblocks that you run into with people? I'm curious.
Some of the typical roadblocks that I run into are, you know, it's interesting. One of the biggest ones is support from their social environments. So if I have a client that comes to me that's looking to lose weight, and, you know, they may have to order dressing on the side at a restaurant, or they're not eating the typical steak they always do at the same steak restaurant that they ate at last year with the same couple. You know, somebody might make a comment to them and they don't really know how to respond. So the social environment is a real big block for people, and also family support. Because people are making changes with food. And I'm sure you know food is a big topic.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, I always think of the habits that I myself have inherited. And I think we all inherit a lot of family and cultural patterns of eating. And they become my mindset. And many of them I've already learned are myths. But sometimes I just eat things just because I'm like, oh, that reminds me of, oh,
right.
The 20 million other wonderful times that I had that wonderful thing. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I would say maybe another one is probably slowing down, because as a health coach, I really teach my clients to slow down. And this program, the 6-month program that I do with clients as a health coach, is a very slow process. So I find that some clients, if I give them something to do over a 2-week period, you know, within 3 days they're emailing, "What's next?" And I'll have to say, that's all you're going to do today. This over the next 2 weeks, you're going to add spinach to your milkshake. That's it. And you're going to do that daily. You know, it's not an Advil. You know, we want it now, instantly. Most people.
And we do live
in
instant gratification society.
Huh?
We do live in an instant gratification society, so I love that advice. Slow down.
Slow down. And some people will say, "I'm trying to you know, avoid a statin or something." And they'll say, "How long do you think it will be, you know, till I start to feel better? A month or a couple weeks?" And I always say, "How long did it take you to get here?" And they kind of look at me, because I do most of my work on FaceTime or Skype. And they'll get that, like, it's going to take some time. It's not overnight.
Yeah, and I like what you said about telling people that's what we're going to do for now. One of my pet peeves is when I send people off, I'll give them a couple different things to do, but I'll ask them to do them at different, I'll start things at different intervals so that they know what does what. If I tell them, if you start everything all at once, you don't know what made you better, and if you get worse, how do you know what made you worse?
Right.
So I like that. I like that phrasing it differently than I do. Slow down. One thing at a time. Notice what your body does, how it responds, and wait before you do the next thing. Feel the benefits or see what happens.
I would say a few things that a are probably the hardest things for clients is, I guess you'd call them roadblocks, but stretching, flossing, and meditation.
Huh.
Those are probably three of... What?
Why do you feel those are the, or why do you think those are the top ones that you see?
I think flossing takes a while. You know, you have to do each tooth. I do a lot of hygiene in my health coaching with a tongue cleaner. You know, I teach about that. I teach about flossing. You know, flossing is one tooth at a time, and it's slow. And then same with meditation. You're being still, unless you're doing a movie meditation. But my clients move enough, so I'm trying to get them to be still. And then stretching is another thing where it's not for some of my clients, it doesn't feel like they're really getting much from it like they would if they ran on a treadmill for 30 minutes. You know, you feel the effects right away.
Okay.
So I find all three of those more of a slower process, I guess, for them.
Yeah, I can see how they're all connected by that need to slow down. Just stretching, you're like, oh, I stretched. It only took me a second. Oh, no.
Right. Yeah, have you ever seen like a runner? He or she will get to a tree and they'll lift one leg and another leg and then they run.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's the stretch. I have this wonderful almond meditation, it's called. And I put my clients through this, and I'll say, take an almond, and we do it together. And I'll say, now chew the almond 50 times. And I learned this in school. And then you can swallow. And it really teaches them how to actually chew their food and be present and then digest, you know, swallow. Where most people, you know, chew 3-4 times, they're done. It goes down.
Mm.
You know, then there's gas and bloating and whatever else happens down the road with digestion. Mm. So just little things like that.
It's amazing how little things add up. And like you said, can affect just digestion, bloating, big problems that we don't even connect to those little things.
Mm-hmm.
What are some common myths that you find people come in with about health in general?
Oh, that's a fun topic. some of the myths, I'd say, I'm not getting enough protein, you know, if I become vegan or if I adapt a whole food plant-based lifestyle or diet. Which I personally follow, a whole food plant-based diet. So not enough protein. People think they need all this protein. And I always try and turn it into, you know, let's focus on fiber more than protein. You know, you never hear someone say, I'm not getting enough fiber. Maybe here and there, but typically protein is the myth I hear a lot of.
Mm-hmm.
We think we need more than we actually you know, more than the body can actually handle. And probably the other myth around exercise is I got to work really hard to get results. And one of the things that I do in my company is heart rate training. So I have a few people that work with me and we write walking programs for my clients. And everyone wears a heart rate monitor and they get to understand their body, what their heart is telling them, and they get to see over time how their heart gets conditioned with doing less and resting more than actually working harder and more often.
Hmm. Wow, those are some great myths that I often see the one about protein, but the exercise one is interesting because I don't do work on that coaching place. Yeah, that's great. And I'm realizing from what you said, I've noticed that too with my challenges in shifting my diet to a more healthy lifestyle. It is about slowing down. I think one of the things that makes our diet today, it's sort of the standard diet that we all run out and eat, is the fact that we run out and eat it. We want something that's quick. We want something that we can get right away, eat right away, finish right away, and get on and do the next thing. So, and I'm just as guilty of that. So slowing down my food choices.
Yes. You know, I've always thought, and I do this for myself as well, because I'm not one of these, I'm always on the go, and I'm not one of these ladies that sits around and does om in my chair. I mean, I'm a go, 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 go. So what I do as a practice and what I teach my clients is, even if I can sit down for lunch and tell myself, take 5 minutes and eat, and don't get on the phone, don't do an email, don't look at anything, just chew my food, I can do 5 minutes. I know I'm going to eat longer, but it kind of gives me that, you know, that habit, almost to start creating a habit where 5 minutes turns into 10 eventually, where I used to stand and be on the phone and email and eat. And I find a lot of my clients do the same. So just having that practice of 5 minutes, like even with meditation, I always say, if you can meditate for 1 minute a day, you meditate it. You know, I think people think they have to do so much of it that they don't do anything. You know,
okay.
or to sit and have lunch for an hour or half hour, you know?
Yeah, I like to open people's minds to what really is meditation, what really shifts your brain to another state. And it may be different for each person, but
yes.
Do you find a lot of emotional roadblocks? I saw that in what part of your bio, you worked with Jeanine Roth, and I read her book a long, long time ago. Fascinating books, and I was curious what kind of emotional blocks you see, and how do you help people through them?
Yes, I love Jeanine Roth. I got to meet her in person, actually.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Yeah, she's phenomenal. When I was in New York. And it's interesting. When I went to school, I was a binge eater on Hershey Kisses, okay? So I lived alone for 17 years. I'd go home every night, even when I was training for Ironmans, and I would eat Hershey Kisses out of the bag, like they were going out of style. And Jeanine Roth really opened my eyes from an emotional standpoint, that something else was missing in my life, that it wasn't about discipline or that I was hungry. It was an emotional component of needing this chocolate. And I realized, and she had helped me see this, that, you know, one, I was lonely. I was living alone. I didn't have a partner in my life, a relationship partner, a significant other. And I just lost my train of thought, but those two things kind of were an eye-opener for me. Oh, and the chocolate was also helping with dopamine and serotonin and endorphins and, you know, giving me that high. So, which love gives you. You know, someone holding you or kissing you, being there for you. So I was getting that through the Hershey Kisses. when I went through the school, one of my goals was, from an emotional standpoint, because you set goals when you go through the school, the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, and I set a goal to fall in love and to stop binge eating with Hershey Kisses. And I did. I ended up achieving my goals and really got to the real foundation of why I was doing what I was doing on an emotional level. And the same goes with my clients. you know, with the, if they say I'm eating a pint of ice cream at night, we really take an hour to look at that, because it could be a childhood food. It could be, you know, maybe it was their grandmother that passed away that they used to eat this ice cream with, and they don't have closure with their grandmother. I mean, it could be something like that. There's so many components. And what we call it from my school, primary foods, is spirituality, relationships, career, and physical activity. And in the relationship area, from the emotional standpoint, I find that that comes up, the primary food, more than the nutrition, secondary food that I call, more than the actual nutrition component. Because I think a lot of people know more than they realize with nutrition, but not so much about other areas of their life emotionally, you know, that what's going on for them and where they're stuck.
Okay. Say a little bit more about what you mean by primary and secondary foods. I didn't quite get the distinction.
So I was taught in school about primary foods, and Janine Roth would fall in that category. So she came to our school and spoke about relationships. And so primary food are four areas that I educate clients in. Relationships in your life with yourself and others. Career. Now, that could be, are you happy in the career you're in now? Is it fulfilling? Would you like to do something different? Are you retired and you're just not sure what's next for you? Spirituality. You know, I do this kind of circle of life, and the spirituality is on the circle of life as well. You know, some people are afraid to even use the word spirituality, so we talk about that. That could mean several things, going to church or taking a walk by yourself. And then physical activity. Are you exercising enough? Are you exercising too much? What do you like to do for exercise? I put people through what I call the eight colors of fitness, and people discover their fitness color, and which is another bio-individuality thing as well. And so those four areas are pretty much a big part of what I do as a health coach, and then the food is secondary. So all the dietary theories that I learned about and I educate clients on, like paleo and blood type and metabolic type and Ayurvedic medicine.
Okay, I understand what you mean now.
That's secondary.
Oh, I see. I understand. Yeah, meaning that the food stuff is sort of that intellectual, mental level of understanding how the food works and what diet you're going to do and what's good for your particular body. But the primary is, why are you eating what you're eating?
Yes, because to give you another example is, I had a client that came to me and she couldn't lose these last 5 pounds for her goal. And she said, you know, I was eating steamed broccoli last night and I was eating my brown rice and, you know, I didn't have any water. She was doing all the right things for her, you know, that she felt was good for her. So I said, well, who did you have dinner with? And she's like, oh, my mother-in-law. And I said, oh, how's your relationship with your mother-in-law? Terrible. I can't stand her. So we got into that and realized she has dinner with her mother-in-law several times a week. And finally, after years and years and years, she broke down and she shared, and she ended up having a conversation years. This has been going on with her mother-in-law, and they actually hugged, and they're like the best of friends now, and she lost the weight.
Wow.
You know, something that simple, and that's what I call primary food, that you could be eating steamed broccoli with your mother-in-law who you can't stand, but you change the relationship and you let go and your weight goes.
Now, how would you explain that link to the...
go ahead.
Like, I believe in the that emotional impact and that connection as well. And I always have trouble explaining it to sort of the layperson who's like, so you mean to tell me my relationship with someone I'm eating with affects my weight loss? What are you trying to tell me? And I'm like, give me half a minute. I'm going to call Michelle.
Right. Well, the easy way to say it, because, you know, I don't get what I call woo-woo with clients, because the kind of type of clients I work with, you know, they're not holding crystals in their pockets, let me say it that way. so the least amount of, you know, I don't use the word transformation, and I do use the word spirituality, but that's about it. Okay. So for me to really deliver a message to them, I would say something like, you know, when you're eating with your mother-in-law, you're holding on, you're tight because you're angry. Mm-hmm. And my client was the type of person that wouldn't say anything. She'd hold it all in. So she mm-hmm. never voiced yelling or voiced about, you know, being upset with her mother-in-law. So I said, you know, when you're eating the broccoli, you're not even, you know, you're probably just getting the food down. You're angry. You're upset. And you've been doing that for years. And sometimes, you know, isn't it nice just to have, it feels like the weight has been lifted off of you when you have a talk with somebody that you've put off for so long. You don't realize how good you feel after. It's the same effect.
Mm.
You know that now she can have a nice dinner and look forward to seeing her mother-in-law. And, you know, the weight, she got to see that she had that with other people in her life. It wasn't just her mother-in-law. So I held her accountable to have these conversations with people that she put off for years. And she just started to lose the weight. She felt lighter. You know, is it quantum physics? Is it energy? Is it, you know, there's many names to put on it. But I just say if you could let go and, you know, just have these conversations you've been willing to have with people so that you could be free and feel good, you know, it just,
yeah,
it happens.
It happens.
I don't know if that explains it for you, but that's how I explain it.
Yeah, it's great. It gives me sort of another way to explain it. I think that one of the areas that's difficult to work into someone's framework is their knowledge about how their emotions work, and even just being aware of their emotions and how much that affects their health. So that's really a great way just to connect the emotions to what's going on in health. And I think you just reminded me what I usually focus on is the stress level that you're having, the cortisol level. So she's sitting there stressed with her mom and putting out lots of cortisol and just not feeling good. And so it just affects your body in that way as well, with the stress hormones saying, ah, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh. I like that. So many different ways to describe something and explain it in someone else's framework. I mean, I think that's what I do when I try to explain things to say, well, what does that person understand, and how can I explain this in a way that they'll get it? And it sounds like coaching, you do a lot of that as well.
Yeah, and I wanted to say one more thing. Sometimes, you know, instead of saying to somebody, well, if you eat this kale, I'm going to use kale again, you know, it's high in vitamin K. Most people don't even understand what vitamin K is and why they're even, what's the point of it all. So I end up saying, try this kale. You're going to have so much energy and, you know, you're going to feel amazing and, you know, you'll probably sleep better. And I have found that people tend to understand that better than the vitamin K.
Okay.
So I try and use, like, the basics from, like, elementary school of what people can relate to and understand in that moment.
And relating it to probably their goals as well. I mean, they probably came in with wanting to feel better, so that really meets them.
Yes. Exactly. And then if they want to learn about cortisol levels, I send them to you.
Yeah.
Because you're my doctor.
Yeah. Thank you. And speaking of that referral network, how do you see health coaching integrating into our medical system? It feels like it, you know, we could do a better job of integrating the people that we do have into sort of a health team for people. What would be the best type of person to refer to a health coach, and where would they look for one?
Well, I think today more and more doctors are looking for health coaches. I went to school almost 9 years ago now, and back then you'd hear health coach here and there, but not with physicians, you know, in their practice. So I do see it coming now, more so than ever. Typically anyone can Google, you know, health coach and their city of where they live, or health coach. Usually I just tell people to go health coach and their city, and tons will come up. The health coaching that I learned is through my school. So I always tell people to Google integrative nutrition or Institute for Integrative Nutrition health coach. They used to have a directory on my school link, and I think they're kind of updating that at the moment. And that was great because you can find health coaches in India or anywhere. And I would say what's great about a health coach with a physician is it saves doctors time. You know, most doctors have this 15-minute, some of them have 10 minutes to go in and out and say, what's the symptom? This is what we can do for you, and then they leave. Where a health coach, you know, what would be great is a doctor could say, I hear your symptoms. I'm going to refer you to Michelle. She's going to sit with you and go over a health history with you for an hour. She's going to take a look at your childhood food, your current food, your blood type, where you're from, how long this has been going on, you know, just a bigger picture of more detail of your health. And, you know, having a health coach is great for working with a doctor, because also if the patients have any questions along the way, they could call their health coach, email their health coach. And then when they go back to their doctor, let's say in 3 months, they may have more progress than they would have on their own, you know, with was prescribed.
How would you describe the difference between a health coach and a nutritionist and a personal trainer, kind of the other people in the model there?
Well, it's funny. Everybody, I always get called different names. People will say, oh, you're that trainer. And I'm going, nope, I'm not a trainer. Oh, you're the nutritionist. Nope, I'm not a nutritionist. Oh, you're the dietitian. Nope, I'm not a dietitian. So, you know, dietitians, even though you asked about nutritionists and trainers, the dietitians are more in the hospital settings, prescribing diet plans for patients. I'm giving you the quick version. And nutritionists,
yeah, please,
are more, they're going to sit down with you and they're going to come up with a diet. You know, they're going to come up with, here's what maybe you'll eat Monday through Friday, and, you know, come back and see me in a couple weeks. Let's see how you do. If you want to lose weight, this is what you would eat. As a health coach, I don't recommend to my clients what they should eat, and there's no diet. So in other words, I'm more... and a personal trainer is someone that goes in the gym and, you know, helps you come up with a workout plan. And I don't train anyone in the gym. I put my high heels on and I sit in front of a computer in a dress. You know, I would say that as a health coach, I'm going to go over and educate my clients on dietary theories and say, would you like to give this, let's say it's, I'm just going to use Dr. Perlmutter because he lives here in Naples. So if I said, oh, great, you know, would you like to read this book, Dr. Perlmutter's book? And he has recipes in the back, and he has a template in his book, a program. Would you like to try that for 2 weeks and see how you feel? The client might say, that'd be great. I'm going to try that. So they try it for 2 weeks. They come back. They tell me how they feel. Mm-hmm. So I never sit down and say, this is good for you. This is your diet. I don't give any nutrition advice. I'm more of someone that just sits and listens and allows the client to discover what's good for them and what they need.
Okay. So sort of a sounding board so they can tune in better to how something's affected them and what direction they want to go in and how they're moving towards their goal.
Yes.
Okay. And I read in your bio that you also work with groups or corporations. How does that shift things when you work with corporations and groups?
Well, exciting things happen, I will say. Not only the return on investment in companies, but less sick days, productivity is increased, people are happier, they're more engaged. You know, I find I when I teach classes or work with groups and corporations, it's interesting. People could be working with each other 15 years and they don't even know anything about each other. So it kind of gives them an opportunity to get to know each other, you know, who they're sitting next to. So there's engagement in the company. You know, what else? I mean, there's so many things. I think one of the biggest things is just decrease in stress and less sick days, having a health coach in a company.
And do you still work with the individuals one-on-one, or do you do group sessions or both? How does that work in a corporation setting?
So currently, I just do one-on-one sessions. In the past, I did groups and worked in corporate settings. And the way I did that was I would teach a class once a month, and then I would break up depending on how many people. Let's say I had 20 people in a class. I would partner up each person. They would each have a partner for the. I would do year-long programs, basically. So they would have each other as a partner or a buddy, and then I would do 30-minute sessions individually.
Okay.
And that's how it looked. Because it was interesting. When I would do group classes, you know, some people don't want to share openly in the class about really what's going on in their body. You know, Jim might not want Sue next to him knowing that he has bowel movement problems. You know, I'm smiling, but, and, you know, or that he has an issue with his wife at home. You know, so the individual component is helpful that they feel okay and trust me to share that with. And then I could kind of create the lesson around what I hear each individual issue is. I can add that onto the lesson so that they get something in the class, but, you know, no one knows who it is, basically, you know, that I'm talking about.
Okay. Oh, that's great that you can work on so many different levels as well with individuals and the groups and so forth.
Thank you.
I could talk for hours and hours, but as we begin to wrap up, I was curious for the general audience out there, since they have a health coach online and we all want to ask you 20 million questions, I'm going to say, put you on the spot and say, what would be, for the general audience, the top three health tips that we should look at?
The top three would be, one, to listen to your body. And if something's hurting, you know, if you have a headache or neck pain, to listen to that and maybe go get a massage or do something different than just take an Advil. You know, kind of get more curious of why it's there. The second thing is to start your day off with dark leafy greens. Now, for some people, that's going to be a big stretch. So I always say if you can add one leaf of spinach, as I mentioned in the beginning, into your milkshake, even if it's a McDonald's milkshake, if you can start out with one leaf of spinach, because there's no taste in spinach, that's a great start to start your body with dark leafy greens to give you energy to start your day off right. I always start my day off with a green smoothie for breakfast. And then the third would be to move every day, to exercise every day. And, you know, if you need to take a day off or 2 days off, but, you know, a good 5 days a week of exercising, and I don't mean just a brisk walk. I mean really getting the heart rate up, sweating, and it's so important, exercise, and it's the one thing that people kind of put to the side. So those would be my three tips.
I like those. So listen to your body. I like the get curious in parentheses. Two, start your day off with those dark leafy greens. And three, move.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Michelle, for joining me today on the call and really educating me as well just about health coaching. And I don't know if there's any last things you wanted to add, but I really appreciate the sort of getting into your world and how you got started doing this and why you keep doing it. It sounds great how much you're helping people, and just like your own coach helped you with getting through the Ironman, you're helping people get to their goals, which of course are different.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And of course, I wouldn't be the woman I am today without you, Doc. So I appreciate you. I always like to say I don't like to see you too often because then I'm not feeling well. But fortunately, this year I only saw you once to get my blood work done, which I always recommend people to do every 6 months if they can. And thank you so much for having me. And I would just say to people, to if you haven't ever hired a health coach, to do it, and it will change your life. It's really rewarding to have somebody to, like you said, a sounding board to just talk to and set and create goals and accomplish them. And so thank you.
Well, thank you again, Michelle Kramer, everyone. And you can find her online at Michelle Joy Kramer. That's michellejoykramer.com. I think that's our other connection. My initials are Joy. Your middle name is Joy.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Oh, and everyone else on the call. Oh, go ahead.
And there is a link on my website for Become a Health Coach. So if anyone's ever interested in becoming a health coach, they could click on that and get the curriculum to see what the school is about, integrative nutrition.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Integrative nutrition. And definitely go to Michelle's website if you're even halfway interested. It's fascinating to me, and I'm sure there's some people out there who really want to enter this not just as a client but as a career. So thank you for that as well. And everyone else on the line, thank you for joining me for People of Passion and Purpose, doing interesting things, living the present moment. Stay tuned for more from Living the Present Moment, and you can find me online at livingthepresentmoment.com. Have a great day, everyone.